And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, we're at the end of the year, or the beginning of the year. Let's look back on last year, Dave. What, if you had to summarize quickly the top things that happened in 2022, no particular order, what would you point to?
Well, you know, right now we live in a cycle where it's perpetual elections. So, I mean, that was always there. We had the Dobbs decision. We had the January 6th commission. And, of course, all of those things really relate to the GOP and its takeover of the courts and attempted takeover of the political process and elections. And they had success with the court, but they didn't have much success at the ballot box. And
well, I don't know about that. Look, you've got 129 or 130 congressmen are going to be sitting in the House of the of Representatives who voted that the 2022, the 2000 election was invalid, that Biden is not the president. And they got reelected.
That's because they're in safe seats.
Well,
where things, where things were challenged, they had failures. You know, they had this, first of all, what we found out from the January 6th commission is they had this plot to keep Trump as president. And they had multiple plots to keep Trump as president. And a lot came out about that. And then they're following the Bannon playbook where they tried to do some other things in terms of taking over the elections at the state houses of the key states, the swing states.
Right, and they failed in every case.
They failed in every case.
Although in one case, not even a whisker, half a whisker.
Yeah, this week we had the Attorney General's office in Arizona went to the Democrat after a recount, and the Democrat won. He lost half of his margin, but he still won by less than 300 votes.
Yeah, out of 2 million.
Right.
But that's not the guy who runs the elections. The elections are run by somebody else, and that Republican lost by a lot.
He lost by a lot. And, of course, Carrie Lake lost, and she's still, you know, fighting it out in the courts and going to go nowhere.
Which may be a good thing, because she may poison the well in Arizona so much that she would not be a viable Senate candidate in the upcoming Senate election when Kyrsten Sinema is going to run and Ruben Gallegos is going to undoubtedly run. And people were saying, well, if Sinema runs, Lake could squeak it in if she were the candidate. But if Lake really tarnishes her name with all that she's doing now, that might be to the advantage of the Democrats and of the American people.
Well, the name I kept hearing was the former governor who was term limited, Peter Ducey. Was it Peter Ducey or whatever?
Doug Ducey.
Yeah, Peter's the guy on Fox.
Yeah.
He's the Ducey on Fox. You know?
Yeah. But is Ducey a Trumper? I don't think he is.
No, he is not a Trumper. And that's the whole thing. The Arizona Party was, as much as they supported Trump in terms of voting for him, but they weren't really Trumper. They held off going whole hog on this thing. But, that was only in one place. Georgia, we still have the investigation going on full blown. And that one, I think people are going to wind up, going to trial on. I think there's going to be charges made.
You think Trump will get charged?
I don't know. I think it's a 50-50. You know, you've got a phone conversation there. You've got a phone conversation.
Well, the whole country's heard that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then you've got the follow-ups to that. Lindsey Graham and whatever, and whose bidding they were doing. So you've got that. But, you know, on the other hand, sometimes you have evidence and it doesn't lead to a charge. We just found out this week that in North Carolina, Mark Meadows was not going to be charged with voting fraud, even though he voted in a place, you know, he voted in North Carolina where he claimed to be living in Virginia, I believe, or something like that. So
he's not going to be charged with fraud, though he committed fraud.
Yeah.
And the fraud he committed was precisely the fraud he claims everybody is doing to him, not that he's doing to them.
Right. And then, of course, then we have the we saw some of the transcripts, and it turns out that he was seen burning papers between the date of the election and the date of the coup, so to speak. So, yeah, real bad guy. Real bad guy, but he might skate. He might skate. They refused to charge him on the subpoena issue.
Right.
You know, right. That he wouldn't honor a subpoena.
Right. And you can bet your life that Jim Jordan is going to jump up and down and attacking Democrats if they say, I'm not coming.
You know,
though he didn't come.
Right. Well, it was interesting. The White House, you know, put a shot across his bow. This week, you know, they issued some orders or subpoenas or something, and the White House said, "Go suck eggs. You're not the head of the committee right now."
Right. Well, that doesn't matter for the Republicans. The Republicans' attitude is it doesn't matter what the story is, as long as they want to, they get to wield power. You're right. The president, and you have the right to nominate the Supreme Court justice, and you have another year to go in your term. We don't think we should take it up. Right.
Right. But we've got a couple weeks to go. We'll take it up.
We'll take it up. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Well, I, for a long time, I've been calling this the two sets of rules. One for them and the one for the rest of us.
That's correct. And when Trump says the elections are rigged, he's not lying. He's just lying about what the rigging is. The fact is that when you have elections that are totally dominated by big corporations, big corporate money, PACs that have secret contributors, where you have elections where there's $1 billion spent. That's not a democratic system that the average person has any control over. That's a question of brainwashing, propaganda, marketing Coca-Cola, and other forms of corruption. That's a corrupt system. That's not a democratic system. No matter. And, of course, the Republicans don't claim it's a democratic system. They say it's not a democracy. Why should we bother?
Right. Right.
But that's not what most people think or want.
That's it. But they don't care. You know, there's that David Frum quote from years ago that if conservatives can't win democratically, they won't give up on conservatives, they'll give up on democracy.
Exactly. And that's what they've done. And I think that's the big story of this year. I think the big story of this year is that the transformation of the Republican Party into a fascist party gelled. That's what you got here. Maybe Trump will be tossed out. Maybe DeSantis will be brought in. Maybe some other guy will be brought in. But it's going to be from that political theory, that political emphasis, an emphasis on, in this country, fascism comes as a kind of a libertarian movement. In classic fascism, the state rules. In this country, the state only takes care of the rich and everybody else gets thrown aside. In fascist countries, classically, the state had to provide something for working people because the left wing, the communists and the socialists, had an enormous base among the working people. The fascists had to get that base. In order to get it, they had to give them health care, welfare, education. They had to give them something. So they did. They don't give them anything. Yeah.
No. Yeah, but there's that saying that's supposedly attributed to Sinclair Lewis, but they say it isn't, that if fascism comes to America, it will come waving a flag and carrying a cross.
Yeah.
They're not even pretending to be patriotic anymore. The cross situation, though, is there.
Yeah.
We saw it in Doug Mastriano, and we've seen it in the Supreme Court, where these religious extremists are intent on opposing that part of the rule, and they've been enabled – by the big donors, by the libertarians, as you talk about.
Well, in our state, this guy is.
Yeah, and that's the book Ann Nelson that I've talked about, The Shadow Network. She outlines that, and it's. It's that big money, and it's sort of a corollary to the situation with Democracy in Chains, where Nancy McLean says that the Koch brothers realized that they can't win democratically. Their ideas are just too odious for that, so they devise ways to get around democracy. Now, of course,
they're odious not because they're illogical. They're odious because to enable their ideas to be enacted, you have to take things away from working people, and working people don't want those things taken away from them. That's all. You know, people who look forward to retiring don't want to be in a situation where they can't retire because there's no Social Security pension. But that's exactly what the Republicans have in mind, getting rid of Social Security.
Or health care through Medicare.
That's right. They want to get rid of it. And some pundit said the current Republican policy is repealing the 20th century. That's not what it is. It's repealing the New Deal. That's
yeah.
what it is.
Well, I always, you know, said that if there was a book to be written, it should be The United States of the Roosevelts, because, as you rightly point out, Franklin Roosevelt, but Teddy also, don't forget, he was a trust buster. He was a populist in many ways against the big money interests. But, you know, then he went into the foreign, you know, making America a world power, you know, not just he was willing to fight, you know, start wars and whatever. But I think both of them. But the New Deal is the one that really was rancor, because that's the one that gave things to people.
Yeah, during Teddy Roosevelt's day, you still had the Lochner decision that was ruling, which went basically said workers can't form unions.
Right.
It was the New Deal that made unions legal.
Sure.
That is what made the whole difference. That's what made the whole difference in America. People talk about middle class. That there's no such thing as a middle class. What there is a well-paid working class or an impoverished working class. And unions produced a well-paid working class, and one that had the opportunity to get an education, to get a mortgage, to build housing and rent housing at an affordable rent. That's what they did.
You know, wages are going up for a lot of the workers. In some ways, it's the marketplace because of a worker shortage. But in other states, you know, most of the states have raised their minimum wage.
Yeah, not
Pennsylvania,
ours.
Not ours. And like I said, I'm watching the two guys that got elected. I'm watching Josh Shapiro when he gets inaugurated, if he has in his speech that he wants to raise the minimum wage. And all the states around us have a higher minimum wage.
The minimum wage in Pennsylvania, for those people who don't know it, is $7.25. That means if you work a full year at a minimum wage, you're making $15,000. The poverty line in America is the low 20,000s. So there you go. And do you want to fight crime?
Well, if you have poverty, you don't. You know, it's not that being poor causes crime, but people who can't afford things.
They can't afford things, and if you can't afford things, you try to get what you need.
Yeah.
People aren't shoplifting in order to go on vacation to, you know, Aruba. They're shoplifting to get whatever they need to eat, drink, or take some medicine.
I used to have a poster in my office with that quote from Anatole France,
that the
law in its magnificent wisdom prevents rich and poor alike from sleeping under bridges, begging for food, and steal, you know.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I forget what the third thing is, but that was in essence what he said.
Yeah. So if the meaning of 2022 politically is this GOP transformation, and if the election results show that the majority of the American people reject that, they don't want that. that what are the Democrats going to do? They're the leaders. They're the political leaders of the opposition at this moment. There's no other party that exists. And in our electoral system, it's impossible really to imagine a third party that can be successful.
Right.
So what is the Democrat response to all this is? I don't see any, really.
Yeah. I have a theory on what they should be doing. I was talking to one of the state Democratic politicians from Luzerne County this week. I ran into him at
where the Democratic Party, as you've documented this in session Luzerne. After session this year, the Democrats in Luzerne are going from bad to worse.
Yeah. And, you know, I said to him, what are you doing? And he said, look, we're working on it. But
working on it.
You know, I've heard that now for years.
Yeah.
My theory is that I think what the Democrats have to do, and they've been afraid to do this, is to they have to destroy the brand of the Democrat of the Republicans, rather. For years, Rush Limbaugh worked on destroying the brand of Democrats and liberals. You know, he made everything sound bad. Matter of fact, he changed the name of the party to the Democrat Party as if it was a slur.
Right.
The Democratic Party.
Right.
I think that they have to go after Republicanism and say, look, this, you know, the world of the Republicans is just what you and I have been talking about.
Right.
You don't get anything.
Right.
You know, you work hard and you get nothing in return.
Right.
The rich get everything. And then you go through all the things. It was that list that I think I sent you a couple weeks ago or some months ago from Bill Pascarell from New Jersey, composed of all the things that the Republicans are opposed to. And you got to keep putting that in front of people. They have to.
But the Democrats have to stand for something. It's not just criticizing the Republicans.
Well,
the Democrats actually have to say, this is what we will do. And even if they can't win the vote, try the vote. Show that you do it.
The other side of the coin is Democrats will do this. It's a long-term process. You just can't get this starting, you know, in January of an election year and then ending in November and going away.
Well, but the Democrats have a problem. They have no institutional mechanism for creating a ongoing program. The program is the program of the candidate. The candidate is not chosen by the party. The candidate is chosen either by his own money or by a primary, which is decided basically by how much money you can raise.
But there's recruitment that goes on.
Is recruitment that goes on, man. Look who they recruit. They recruit people who they think will appeal to the center.
Well, not just that. They go around and say they recruit people who can raise the money for their own campaign.
Worse yet.
You know, that sort of thing, except if you're in an overwhelmingly Democratic district where that doesn't matter as much, because...
But you never know. Look, in New York State, you had in the Hudson Valley, you had a bunch of districts that were not overwhelmingly Democratic, but they were Democratic. The Republicans won four of them. One of them by a complete liar.
Yeah, by the way, and that's interesting this week. Even more keeps coming out about him.
George Santos.
And you get the counter argument. Well, both sides do. Well, not quite.
No, both sides don't do that.
Yeah. Joe Biden lied about his grades in law school. Yeah, but he didn't lie about the fact that he went to law school. He didn't lie about his religion. You know,
didn't lie about his mother. Didn't lie about his father. Right. Didn't lie about his job. Didn't lie about his education. Didn't lie about where he lived.
Right. He didn't lie about his sexuality.
Right.
He didn't lie about being being married and not, you know.
Didn't claim that people who were slaughtered were working for him when that wasn't true.
He didn't claim, you saw where his money came from.
Right.
This guy, we don't know where his money came from. We don't know where he was actually living.
Actually, the only thing we don't know about him is where his money came from. Everything else, whatever he claimed, was false. So you know that about him.
Yeah. Just, really, really.
But the point is that the Democrats knew most of this. Maybe they didn't know it in the depth that we know it now.
But
they knew most of it. And they didn't use it. They didn't bring it out. They didn't use it effectively.
Well, I don't know which way Newsday, you know, is in terms of its politics, but they just don't have, you know, they don't have a Fox to do this and to amplify it, or Newsmax or what have you. By the way, before we leave New York, I don't know whether you've seen, you know, we talked about, I think last week, Kathy Hochul nominating a Republican for the top job in the New York courts. And apparently that has not sat well with the Senate in New York, the Democratic part of the Senate. And she may have to either withdraw the nomination or see it go down to defeat.
Good.
We don't know yet. Don't know yet.
The Republicans have nominated plenty of bad judges.
Right. Right. And so, you know, whatever her motive was, you can't.
Well,
you
I think it's part. I think it's part of this same centrist orientation. Somehow, we're working across the aisle. What aisle are you working across, for Christ's sakes?
Yeah, and that's the thing. When I say they have to go after Republicans, a lot of Democrats are, well, we get some Republican votes, but you get damn few of them at this point.
Yeah,
and they don't want to look bad in front of the independents that they can draw. You know, and when I talk about two sets of rules, there's two sets of way things are looked. The Republicans are known to be nasty, and when they act nasty, they don't seem to pay for it because people expect them to be. The Democrats are supposed to play nice, and when they don't play nice, they get penalized for it.
But why should they play nice? Why shouldn't they give the Republicans back what they hand out? The difference being that the Democrats say is actually true.
They have to start saying, we're new kinds of Democrats. We play for keeps, too.
Right.
That's those things. But also, in terms of elections, I'm a follower now. I keep mentioning, you know, Nancy McLean or Ann Nelson. Ruth Ben-Ghiat, whose study of fascism is probably the best one going right now. And she talks about that the way that the modern fascists work is that they use the elections. Remember, Hitler he never got the majority of the vote. He got appointed chancellor and then canceled all subsequent elections.
That works.
The fact is now you got Viktor Orban. He just uses the elections as a justification. Bolsonaro tried it.
Putin gets elected all the time.
Putin gets elected all the time now. Putin. They're talking about Putin friend syndrome or something. You just are falling out of window syndrome over there.
Well, if you fall out with Putin, you really fall.
Yes, it's a literal. Yeah. It's a literal.
That's right. When he fires four generals, they don't come back.
No.
Four generals disappeared this week.
You know, and you know that happened to be that certainly is one of the bigger stories of the year.
The generals or Putin?
Putin and the Russian army, the vaunted Russian army.
The Russian army was vaunted because people thought it was the Soviet army. The Russian army stinks. The Russian army is like the Tsar's army.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
except they have atomic bombs.
Yeah. On their own, they've lost.
Yeah.
A lot of major war. They lost the Russo-Japanese War, which helped lead to the revolution, a number of years later. They had a real problem with Finland. They almost lost that war. One-on-one, they don't do very well.
Well, they redeemed themselves in World War II.
Well, only because, two things. One, they had more manpower.
Putin also has more manpower. He's not winning.
They also got a lot of their help from us.
They got trucks from us. They got trucks from us. They got some ammunition from us. But they took 27 million casualties.
They took, Stalin was willing to.
Yeah.
Well,
we're not talking German. We're doing this in English.
We're doing it. Stalin was willing to do that. And, of course, the Chinese are willing to do that, too.
Yeah.
In Korea, they charge and they wouldn't have enough rifles. And they just said, well, you pick one up from the guy who got shot in front of you.
And they won. They pushed the Americans back from the Yalu, and they, you know, that's all they wanted. They did it.
So, yeah, they got the breathing room. They got their breathing room.
Yeah, you know, you had our side had MacArthur, who saw little yellow men. He figured, who are they? They can't win. Same as in Vietnam. They saw these little Vietnamese. How could they win? They won.
Yeah. Land wars in Asia.
Yeah. Yeah. But back to the Democrats.
Right.
Will they do what we think they need to do? Do you think that the Democratic leadership, whether it's the congressional leadership, Hakeem Jeffries, or whoever it might be, do you think that you can imagine a turnaround? I mean, there is now a group, a vastly expanded group of progressive Democrats in Congress, and they're young. They're in their 30s.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of the new generation.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not talking about Abigail Spanberger, not people who work for the CIA. I'm talking about Summer Lee from Pittsburgh.
We'll see how she functions. Yeah. You know, Cori Bush has not been a great ball of fire there. She's a vote, but she's not a great ball of fire.
It depends on what you're looking at. I mean, she may not be a negotiator of coalitions, but she may be a pretty damn good organizer in St. Louis.
Well,
that's what counts.
Yeah, but St. Louis is the city itself. It's not tough for a Democrat to win. What we found out this year, though, there are places that you know, Democrats used to win that are seemingly, you know, out of line with them. Florida,
Luzerne County,
Dade County, in particular. And if they don't figure out how to get those votes back. There was that article about the population shift moving to Florida and Texas, which in the next census will give them more power. The question is, are the people moving there the more liberal or are they in the more conservative? And if, you know, I'm thinking that by the voting patterns, they may be the more conservatives. You know, the 2024 was supposed to be the year the Democrats took over Texas. That doesn't look like it's going to happen. Beto O'Rourke, you know, has flopped twice in statewide elections there.
Well, I don't know what the Democrats are going to do.
By the way, the other Democrat, I mentioned Josh Shapiro, but I want to see what John Fetterman does in the Senate. Right. Is his first bill going to be legalizing marijuana, or is it going to be to raise the minimum wage?
Well, it's a good thing to look at. Exactly.
Yeah. We got to see how he performs.
Right.
Yeah. You know, freshman senators usually are told to keep quiet and learn the ropes.
Nobody's going to keep anybody quiet. Not in this Congress.
It's going to be hard.
This Congress.
You can't really ignore John Fetterman.
No.
Let's face it. He's going to be a hard one. Hard one to ignore.
That's right. Well, all right. So we've come to the end of the year.
Yep. And it's
next time we speak, we'll be a year older.
Happy and healthy.
We can look forward to the next year. Yes, happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody.
Yep, and everything is going to hit the fan on Monday when the Republicans go and try to
Tuesday.
Elect a leader. Is it Tuesday? I'm sorry.
Tuesday.
To elect a leader in the House.
Well,
that'll give us an idea of where things are.
Yep.
And we'll see where.
Meanwhile, wear a mask if you're in public. Never mind all this stuff about
there's a lot
the virus
going around.
Is gone. The virus is not gone, and there's plenty of cousins of the virus joining the virus.
Yeah, and the flu besides.
Yep, exactly. So Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year to you, Dave, and to your family.
We'll see you next year. We'll see you next year.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.